Hello? Can everyone hear? Okay, good. Okay, good morning. Today I will be talking about how we generalize and adapt the concept of pronunciation modeling and use that to design a framework to help analyze dialects. So here is the structure of the talk, and I'll first start from the motivation of speech science and engineering that led to this model. Okay, so dialect recognition, dialect research, there are different branches of work. On the one end, there is speech science. So for example, speech science, these social linguists, they would analyze rules across dialects to understand why these dialects are different. This is very important, but their analysis is often manual, so it's very time-consuming, limiting the amount of data that can be analyzed. And so without enough data, sometimes it is possible that some of these rules might be overlooked or overspecified. On the other hand, we have speech technology. So for example, speech engineers, they design automatic dialect recognition systems. Okay. And these models, and so it can process data very efficiently, even if there is a lot, and can also reach very decent performance. However, explicitly model these phonetic rules underlying these dialect differences. Therefore, in our work, we decided to combine the strengths of these two research communities to bridge the gap between speech science and technology. So in particular, we want to design automatic systems that are able to explicitly learn these phonetic rules across dialects and use that to inform human analysts. So because of this informative nature of these results of the system, we term this approach informative dialect recognition. So to give you a deeper taste of what I mean by what our system can do, is an example. So in the input, we have the word transcript and the audio signal, which could be used to generate the reference pronunciation and the dialect-specific pronunciation in blue and red here. And the model will learn the mapping between this reference pronunciation and dialect-specific pronunciation so that in the output, we can get these phonetic transformations, these phonetic rules that tell you how the dialects are different. So for example, in this case, we see that R is deleted when it's followed by a consonant. And in addition, we can see that we can quantify the occurrence frequency and know how often this happens. And this kind of information is extremely important for forensic phoneticians, which is one of the big motivations behind our work. So before I go into more of the details of our proposed model, I'd like to formally introduce what I mean by phonetic transformation, because we will be characterizing dialect differences using phonetic transformations. So we represent a word in the reference dialect as reference phones. And in the dialect of interest, we represent the pronunciation as surface phones. And this mapping between the reference phones and the surface phones is what we call phonetic transformation. So to give if we're given the word bath and choose general American English as the reference dialect, and British English as a dialect of interest. Now we have the reference phones and surface phones of the word bath, and here you see a in the reference phones is mapped to a in the surface phones. So this is an example of an a substitution, which is a kind of phonetic transformation. There are two other kinds of deletion and insertion. We'll talk more about them later, but this is what I mean by phonetic transformation. So now I will go into our proposed model and highlight what we did to make our model able to explicitly learn these phonetic transformations. So our model is called Phonetic Pronunciation Model, and we want to answer the following questions using this model. So first, when we compare a dialect to a reference dialect, what kinds of phonetic transformations occur? Are they substitutions, insertions, or deletions? And if they occur, where do they occur? Are there only certain phonetic contexts that occur? And how often do they occur? So to answer these questions, we have two building blocks in our model. The first part is the Markov model, and we use that to help us automatically align the reference phones with the surface phones. The second part is decision tree clustering, which helps us generalize the phonetic rules. So here is a slide where three different kinds of phonetic transformations, each with an example. Now, in these examples, General American English as a reference dialect, and British English for the dialect of interest. So we already saw cases, the substitution of a, where in American English it's pronounced as bath, and in British English it will sound like bath. The second is the deletion example, where when it's followed by a consonant. So in American English, park would sound like something like park in British English. And the third example of phonetic transformations is insertions. So here in General American English, if one word ends with a vowel and the vowel following it, the word following it starts with a vowel, then an R might be inserted in between when it's a British English speaker. So the phrase saw a film will sound more like sar a film. So these are some of the examples of the phonetic transformations. And in the following slides, I will illustrate how these examples fit into our proposed HMN network. So here is a traditional HMM network where the circles represent the states and the squares represent the observations. And the arrows are the state transitions. So this is a trivial case where the reference phones and the surface phones are the same, so there are no dialect differences. And this is the case of a substitution where AO W. And in this case, a traditional HMM system can handle it adequately. However, what about an insertion? So if we have an insertion of R here, we see that this R surface phone does not have any corresponding state to it. So our solution is that now we will have a 1-to-2 mapping between the reference phones and the states. So for every reference phone, it's represented by two states. The first one is the white circle, which indicates a normal state. And then it's followed by an insertion state, the green circle. And so now you see that the observation has a corresponding state to be mapped to. And in addition, we also further categorize our state transitions according to the property of phonetic transformations. So now if a state transition is entering an insertion state, as like the red arrow here in the graph, then we call it insertion state transition. Okay, so we covered the case of insertions. How about deletions then? So here we see the example where the state R has no corresponding surface phone or observation. And to solve this problem, we introduce a deletion state transition, which skips normal states. So in this case, the state R is skipped, so it no longer needs to be mapped to an observation. So these are some of the highlights of the differences of our proposed HMM network and the traditional one to help us more explicitly model the phonetic transformations in a richer way. So now after training our HMM system using triphones, we could find rules like these on the right. So for example, a becomes ah when it's followed by a th, so bath becomes bath. A also becomes ah when it's followed by an s, s becomes class. And another example is becomes ah by an f, so laugh becomes loth. The question here we want to ask is, are these observed rules actually originating from a more general underlying rule? And if it is, how can we find it? So here we use decision tree clustering to help us. So from the results of decision tree clustering, we can find that by clustering these observed fragment underlying rule. So here the underlying rule we found was that, oh, so now actually whenever ad is followed by a voiceless fricative, the phonetic transformation of ad to ah will occur. Okay. So I just talked about the highlights of our model, and now we're going into the evaluation stage. And we've done a series of experiments, and because of the time constraint, I will not be able to share all of this information. So the dialect recognition task will not be talked about, but you can read a lot of the details in our paper. And I'll be focusing on the other two. The first one is a pronunciation generation experiment, where basically we're assessing the ability of the model by seeing how well it can convert one pronunciation into another dialect's pronunciation. So the data we used is an Arabic database. It has five different Arabic dialect regions: UAE, Egypt, Iraq, Palestine, and Syria. And they're all conversational telephone speech. And here we chose Iraqi as our reference dialect. And in this table, you can see the data partition for our experiments. So this experiment, the assumption is, if we trained our pronunciation model well, that it has learned these phonetic rules across dialects correctly, then the model should be able to convert the reference phones into other dialects' pronunciations very well. So here, after we train a pronunciation model, a phonetic pronunciation model, we give it the reference phones of the test set, and it will generate the most likely surface phones of other Arabic dialects. And by comparing these surface phones that were generated to the ground truth surface phones, we can see how well our model is converting one dialect's pronunciation to another. And here are the results. So the orange bar is the monophone version of the pronunciation model, and the blue one is the decision tree pronunciation model. And we see here tree helps improve the rule recovery rate by 20.7% relative, meaning that the decision tree's results help us convert these pronunciations better. Here I would like to mention a side note, and we also did a lot of further analysis and found that there are word usage differences across Arabic dialects, and this could potentially complicate the evaluation of our system. However, we also did the same experiments using our phonetic pronunciation model on multiple English corpora without these word usage differences that will cause complications, and the results are very good. Unfortunately, I cannot share with you these today because it will be covered in interspeech, but that means you should all come to my talk in interspeech as well. So the last evaluation is the rule comparison evaluation, where we compare our learned rules to the ones in the linguistic literature. So here on the left, you see the linguistic description of different Arabic dialects that are from the literature. On the right, you see learned rules from our proposed system. And you can see that the learned rules from our proposed system actually correspond with these linguistic descriptions. And furthermore, they actually sometimes might potentially refine the phonetic context of when these rules occur. And most importantly, we can also quantify the current frequencies of these rules given the phonetic context. And this information is very important for forensic phoneticians, but is rarely documented in the literature. So I'm going to conclude my talk with talking about the contributions of this work. So here we propose an automatic yet informative approach in analyzing dialects, and we call this informative dialect recognition. We use a mathematical framework to characterize phonetic transformations across dialects in a very explicit manner to learn these rules. And our proposed system is able to postulate rules from large corpora to discover, refine, and quantify dialect-specific rules. So if people have questions or issues that they would like to ask me about the talk, I would be happy to do so.
Thank you, Speaker. So we have time for a few questions. On an admin note, I'll note I'd ask the first talker to come up with his slides to put on this one, Fred. So is there any questions that we have for this first talk? She can point to it.
Oh, I thought I pointed to you. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for a nice talk. But a couple of comments. First of all, it's good to see that you've got the linguistic information of your registered dialect as far as Arabic goes, but actual Arabic. But you're probably aware that you have to be a bit more careful with your information on your references when it's more established things like you have to be careful about linguistic descriptions because they are often based on new speakers and they don't often, in my experience, they don't often correspond to actual reality when you have been speaking with other people. One other thing, there is a very useful characterization of actually between speakers with correspondence or translate very nicely into between dialect or between variety is John Wells a long time ago listed four or five different characteristics or four or five different dimensions, phonological dimensions, which you can get into and if you ask them to incorporate those, so you can sort of already use another one, but there are other ones. So finally, the comment
I'm not sure
in the Arabic criteria means that phonetic O exists. I would suspect that's good enough because this is where the Wells classification comes from. You need to distinguish. If you listen to modern standard Arabic, there are many examples of all phonetically, but it doesn't exist phonetically. Whereas there are other examples in UAE Arabic. Or just separate funding. And I'm not sure how you can sort that out, but that's a clear difference in the data here.
Thank you very much. I don't know if I can remember all of them to respond them to, the last one, yes, that is we are aware of that point, and it's just our system is also able to learn these potential differences that may not actually be a phonetic rule, and the existing O or non-existing O in Arabic is one of them. And John Wells has established a lot of very good literature on dialect differences in English, and actually I'll be using a lot of that in my next talk. So that is what you could be looking forward to. And you mentioned something else. Oh, the reference dialect. The decision of the reference dialect, they are both engineering and linguistic considerations. So we actually considered both. So from the linguistic side, I made some decisions such as I would not want to use Egyptian Arabic as the reference dialect because it seems like for the native speakers of Arabic that I know, they usually know how their dialect is different from the Egyptian dialect. And so since I don't really understand Arabic, if I needed them to help me assess if the model or the system is going in the right direction, it will be easier for them to tell me if these phonetic transformations are occurring and the Egyptian one is not the reference. And then for Palestine and Syria, belong to the Levantine Arabic family, so I was more reluctant to use them as references because since they are more closely related, then if I use Palestine, then I may not be able to see Syrian differences very easily. And in the initial establishment of the system, it might be better to have more dialect differences. And finally, from the engineering perspective, we actually have a lot more Iraqi data so that we can train systems on. And so that was the reason why, in the end, we chose Iraqi. And this is always a very difficult decision, but it worked out okay in this case. And so are there any other questions?
Well,
oh, no?
Let's take a speaker. We got to get going on that. So we'll now move on back to the...